This is Rafflebix After Hours.
Not going to sing the SpongeBob theme tune, but it is the 148th episode of your favourite music and technology podcast. Welcome to Rack Addicts After Hours. I'm Ben. Peter's here. So is the dog, in fact. And of course, we must tell you what we've been doing this past week. Pete, what have you got?
Right, I have mostly been in the studio, as I mentioned to you in previous conversations. I've decided to try and put together an ambient album.
Excellent.
So I've been noodling like a noodler.
Did you in fact deploy the noodler, or have you sold that? I can't remember.
No, I've still got it, but I haven't used it in in the longest time, to be honest. I am considering selling it.
Conventional noodles, then?
Conventional noodles. Well, just trying to get my kind of recording mojo going.
Yeah.
So just been fleshing out a few ideas and just trying to get some structure.
Excellent.
But I would imagine a lot of the various bits and pieces will end up on the proverbial cutting room floor.
Oh, yeah.
So to speak.
Mm-hmm. Can we hear it? Is the big question.
Well, I've got a little sample of one of the little ambient things I've been doing. I'll just give you a blast right now and you can...
I'll see if I can guess what might have been involved.
Yes, I think you'll know straight away, to be honest.
Oh my. I think there are two devices involved, one of which I think is a delay, a fancy delay potentially. Or is it just the built-in thing on the other thing?
It's just one keyboard.
In that case, it's got to be the UDO.
No, it's actually it's actually the HydroSynth Deluxe.
Wonderful. Sounds great.
Yes. So it's still a work in progress, that particular track, but I you can see or hear the kind of idea that I'm trying to get across with it.
Definitely. I like the way the lower notes arrived. They had really nice something. Haven't got the word. Body. I don't know. Yeah, no words.
There are certain type of sound design or certain type of sounds that the HydroSynth is particularly good at.
I think I know why this particular sound is working for you. Based on that wonderful demo you did at the ModCaf a million years ago of the Polyevolver, that had a lot of noise in it, nice texture, and delivered that in quite a rhythmic and interesting way. Texture, feels, a certain dustiness, but there was a bit of that in there as well. Really nice texture.
Yes. So I most probably will put a copy of the Polyevolver thing that I did on this album.
You have
as well.
To. I love that bit so much. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, I might have to think about getting it out the flight case and re-recording.
I need to have it in my life. It's so good.
I have actually got some proper recordings of it somewhere.
Well, you better go dig them out.
But as I spend most of my time in the studio just editing podcasts, I don't get that much chance to actually noodle as much as I should do, which produces a lot of guilt about having so much equipment that isn't being used. So I'm endeavouring at the moment to really utilise what I've got.
Excellent.
In the best way that it can be utilised.
Have you got any more ideas of, actually there's something going on in my head and I need to use that synth for it? Got any of those kicking about?
Yeah, I do, but invariably I find the synth is actually packed away somewhere, and then the whole process of getting it out again. I had quite a lot of MIDI grief with the recording that you've just heard, because I needed to send and receive MIDI from the HydroSynth, because initially I was playing the actual melody by hand when I had the idea, and it was all about how can I translate this and record it and then get it completely in time, because it's got a strange time signature. I'm not that great at figuring out time signatures.
Yeah, just feel how it needs to be and work worry about it later.
Yes. So I normally record them just freehand, so to speak. And then, but if you don't know what BPM it should be, what time signature should be, so I had to play around and eventually got to 96 BPM. Right. I tend to like to work in sort of 32, 64, 96 yeah. and 128. Mm. It's just a sort of range of BPMs that I try to fit most things into. Mm-hmm. And that eventually did fit into 96 BPM, but it took some time to get there and then make sure that once I'd got it in MIDI form, then I had to do some slight corrections, just the odd thing that was slightly out of time, that it didn't lose the essence, the feel that I initially had from playing it by hand. But I think it's going to work out all right.
Sounding great.
Yeah, so that was about a minute of it, so there is about 4 minutes in total, so I most probably need to have some more variants, some other things going on, but it's just meant to be just pleasant ambient type stuff.
Certainly was.
But knowing me, eventually start having breakbeats all over stuff like that. Anyways, that's been my week, basically noodling in the studio.
Wonderful. I have a car in my ear. No, I have three little doobries to talk about. Firstly, have I told you about my writing desk?
No, you have not told me about your writing desk.
Ah, so let me paint you a picture. I live in a one-bedroom flat with my partner. We don't really need, well, we wouldn't mind another cupboard because a little bit of a storage issue. But that means when we're working from home, we're working in the sort of gap between the open plan, kitchen, living, all-purpose, everything room. And I had been feeling, having been in two beds before and claimed the second bedroom as somewhat of an office, studio, dumping ground, conservatory, multi-purpose room extravaganza, I'd been feeling a lack of domain. I don't know that I had a space that was mine, free from the intrusions of the other half. So I was inspired by The Tuesday Night Machines, a wonderful chap on YouTube, and it's an older video of his, I think, where he shows off his IKEA synth wardrobe. It's just an IKEA PAX, I think, but they're quite modular in their shelf drawer and bits and pieces that you can customize them with. And that's where he has, or had, his synth setup. And of course, you can close the doors on it, so all the cables and wires and inevitable mess can be put away and forgotten about, which, when you're in a small space that you like to keep tidy, is essential. I will not mention how untidy my side of the bedroom is, but anyway, so I thought, I'll do that. I'll cruise the Gumtree and the eBays and the Facebook marketplaces of the world and try and find a nice, cheap, hopefully solid wood, so I can attempt to screw things into it and add bits and customize. Solid wood wardrobe. And there's plenty. But then I only have a little tiny hatchback. So the issue was, yes, I can spend maybe up to £100 on a wardrobe, but I'm not going to spend, you know, then 150 or something plus to hire a van for a day. And I don't have any friends with vans or trailers or pickup trucks that I can enlist. So the solution came to me in a dream. No, it didn't. I'm not sure how I thought of it. But I thought about a writing desk or the old-fashioned bureau type thing. You know, the kind with the sort of slanted lid that you pull down onto some supports and you've got writing surface and drawers and things and cubby holes and there's probably a key to lock it and things. You know, the kind.
And a green leather surface.
It's got a green leather thing with the...
With the gold.
You know exactly the one. Yes, so this one is made by Ducal or Ducal, you know the brand. It's an English one from a while ago that was everywhere.
Okay.
Solid pine. And because of our colour scheme, it will have to be whitewashed so it fits in a little bit better. And I'm in the process of doing that. But that is my solution. It'll be computer setup, soldering station, and all of those things.
You have to get something protective to cover this surface if you're going to be soldering there.
Yeah, so I don't care about the leather thing. So what I might do is get, you know, the kind of cutting mats, those plastic ones. I might see if I can... It depends how much depth there is in the kind of cutout underneath the leather. Peel up the leather, swap it with a cutting board.
Cutting mat. Yeah, the leather won't be very thick at all. It'll be a very thin layer.
Like, what, a couple of millimetres, if that.
If that, maybe a millimetre if you're lucky. I would say, why can't you get a cutting board that's exactly the same size as the hole?
And just stick it on top of it.
Yes.
That's a good shout. I might do that. But yeah, and I've been measuring and doodling and planning where things are going to go. But yeah, it's going to be very much modified from its original form. But I'm excited.
Brilliant.
It's nice to have a DIY project.
Yes, it is.
But because I don't really have a workshoppable space, it's currently in the bike storage and it's been too rainy and humid outside to get any kind of good painting situation. patience. I have to wait for it to dry out a bit.
Yeah, it does seem like our weather is one extreme to the other.
Yeah, it's a nightmare because it was way too hot. We're talking 15 to 18 degrees 3 or 4 weeks ago, and now it's, yeah, miserable, under the tens, raining all the time.
Yes, and it's the rain and the dourness of the darkness of everything yeah. that really gets you down.
In some ways, I like it, but it gets very tiring very quickly.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Nah, you like your warmth. You're a bit of a lizard.
Yes, definitely, definitely. I don't like it too warm, just warm enough.
Exactly.
And dry warm, not that sweaty stuff.
Yeah, of course. Well, we'll see what happens there. But crucially, apart from computer station and soldering, it must also house my modular system.
Oh.
Yeah, you heard that right. It exists. It is small, but it exists. So remember, ages ago, I had 3 of the Erica Synth's educational series modules.
Yes.
Well, those have very slowly and painstakingly, because of reading the manuals and such, been built. And I've also purchased 2 more of them, the sequencer and the output module. Most crucially and excitingly, of course, I have a case, not the Erica educational one, I'll get that later, but I have a powered 4MS Pod 64X from David from the ModCaf, and the big one. Let's see if you can guess. I'm going to play you a little snippet of something. The water in the background actually doesn't come from the tiny modular system. That would be my cat's water fountain. So you can tune that out. This was just a video that I sent to Anthony from the ModCaf because I built him a Sebsongs Odds, which actually we should talk about later. But in testing the sequencer, I used a Disting EX with Spitfire Audio's Labs soft piano on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to ask where the piano sound was coming from.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why I got the Disting EX. Apart from its multifunctionality, a lot of the time I imagine it might not be multifunctional and just be a portable piano.
Oh, well, sounds good.
I'm pleased. There were some issues. I had some horrifying, disgusting audio glitching going on while triggering the piano thing. But forums and other Googlings found the parameter that fixed it, so we're all good. Gate offset, which I think changes the arrival time of CV and gate away from each other. I don't know why that fixed it. I don't care. It did. Yes, modular is happening in time, I hope, for Q121. And it's cool. I haven't done much with it because there isn't much to do. But yeah.
But excellent. So this is the third round of modular for you.
Yes. Third round. Round 3.
I knew
it. Fight again.
I knew it'd be back.
Yeah, you can't escape, can you? Let's talk about Odds because it's really cool. Have you heard the Sebsongs Odds?
Sounds a familiar name for a module. Is it a small?
It's a little one. You might have seen it in like a Thonk email or something.
Yeah, because it's most probably where I have seen it.
It's a recent release. Ant asked me to make it because it is a surface mount project and it takes a certain person to want to put themselves through what some see as the torture to do that. But I enjoyed it. It's always good fun. And it worked first time. Hooray. Wonderful. So it is 4HP, I believe, a sequencer. You have 3 controls and there's a shift button. So there's 6 controls. Feed it a gate and the top percentage control will set the likelihood of a new note or event being created. 100% on the left, 0% on the right. Well, 0% all the way anti-clockwise, 100% fully clockwise, of course. You then have a scale and chord control on the middle one and a steps and offset on the third control. It has a loop button, so kind of like a Turing machine, you can, ooh, that was a cool little random thing, press the loop button and it'll keep looping it. With the steps control all the way to the right, clockwise, you have 64 steps and you can go all the way down to 1 and freely blend between sequence lengths as you like. And the offset lets you choose a range within that if you're only doing a certain number of steps. The scale and chord controls work in an interesting way. When I was using it, you seem to have to press shift, turn the scale slash chord control all the way clockwise to get kind of the full chromatic, all the notes of the chord, release shift, and then you can pick your scale shape. And then you can go back to chord by pressing shift and reduce the number of notes from the scale. I'm not sure if that's quite how it's supposed to work, but it seems to be how it does work, but it is quite effective. So yeah, you just feed it a gate, there is a volt per octave input to transpose, and then you have gate and CV out, and it's nice. A lot smaller than a Turing machine, and potentially a little bit more flexible in certain ways. Of course, you don't need a quantizer with it, which is great. But it's a cool little thing. Didn't take too long. Not a massive amount of components. Most of it's done by, I think it's one of the really small Raspberry Pi things rather than an Arduino-y type thing. But, you know, they're all kind of similar.
Yeah.
Do recommend. It's not very expensive. And if you can surface mount, go for it. You can probably do it just fine with thin solder and a thin tip. You don't really need paste and hot air. It's not that tiny.
Okay, I'll have to give it a look.
Yeah, it's only one TL074 chip, whatever those are. And the package size is easily done by hand, so you don't need to worry about ICs.
I see.
I see. Wonderful. And of course, the third thing, there is an impending ModCaf on Wednesday, and it should be a good one. We've got quite a few demos. I believe we're going to be treated to a demonstration of Dreams from one of the chaps from Media Molecule, which will be excellent. I believe that's a PlayStation game, in inverted commas, but is a very flexible creation system that I don't know much about, but I know it's going to be cool. We also have a demo of the Benjolin. So the Benjolin is a Rob Hordyke design of quite a lot of fame, but that's going to be demoed to us by Alan, and I'm very excited because he credited this as the stepping off point, the wow moment where he thought, wow, okay, modular is a thing, and I think he found it very inspirational. So I'm excited for that, and I shall report back, of course, afterwards. There we are, that's the week, and there is indeed some news. Firstly, one that I just ran across on the Modulia grid is from a company I haven't heard of called Audio Spectry. Audio, spelt like audio, funnily enough, and then Spectry, S-P-E-K-T-R-I. This guy is called Guitar Analyzer, and I imagine it works in a similar fashion to the ARP Avatar. Is that the one? The guitar synth situation. Do you know the one I mean?
No, I'm not really sure.
It was
something from the 70s by the sound of it.
So I think I heard about this one from Alex Ball and his Electromotive, the Story of ARP Instruments documentary. An hour and 51 minutes well spent. Go and find it on YouTube. Yes, ARP Avatar. I'm sure that's the right one. Yes, indeed, ARP Avatar. So that was a guitar-controlled synthesizer. I'm not entirely sure of its functionality, but I'm sure the Audio Spectry Guitar Analyzer is inspired by it. You have a guitar input, a pedal input. What does that do? Who knows? But excitingly, on the left, you have CV notes out from six jacks, string number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and string signals 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the right. What this means is, in theory, you plug in a guitar, just with a regular guitar jack, you strum a chord, and that chord will appear as volt per octave out of six jacks. That's super cool. And also on the other side, you have six synthesized of the same pitches, or the amplitudes on the right. There are other controls, but that's cool. I always wonder how they do it. It's just a mono audio signal and they somehow extract pitch from it. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
If you need that kind of thing, there it is. Not the most exciting of news, but I think it's sad because I thought they were cool. But Moog is retiring the Dark series of the Matriarch and Grandmother. Big sad. You kind of wanted one at one point, didn't you?
Yeah. Did we already have this discussion a few months ago?
I don't think we did. I think we were speculating about it at one point, or they might have done, but now it's definitely happening.
Okay.
Yeah, they're gone.
I thought they'd gone already, to be honest.
I think the announcement here is they'd just finished the final run, so those will be going off to distributors and stuff, and then poof, no more.
Yeah, I should have got one last year. And then one of my colleagues bought a secondhand Dark Series Matriarch, and he offered it to me a couple of weeks ago.
But
I'd already bought several other sets.
Oh, yeah. And quite a heavy purchasing season.
Yes, so it was one of those things. I'm sure I'll potentially get round to getting one, maybe, one day.
Hopefully, because they're super, super cool, and I think they would look excellent in front of the moth.
Yes.
Right, the last one, it's quite a big one. Pete, this pinged into your emails. Do you want to take this one away?
Yeah, I literally got the email sort of half an hour before we were due to start recording this podcast, and as soon as I saw it, I thought, well, that is certainly interesting. but we don't know too much about it. It's from the modular manufacturer Knobula, or Knobula, depending on how you want to pronounce it. And the unit is called Chord Pilot, and it's described as a MIDI chord generator plus arpeggiator. And it actually looks quite interesting, but I haven't quite figured out how it's deriving the MIDI, whether it holds it internally or you have to pipe the MIDI in. And if you do have to pipe the MIDI in, it's just a MIDI interface.
Yeah. So it has a MIDI in and it has a MIDI out. But in the demos, there wasn't anything plugged into the MIDI in, I don't think.
So maybe you can just feed MIDI into it and it can hold a certain length of MIDI pattern in a certain BPM. I'm just surmising here. I have no idea.
So here's the bump, which we can now find on Modular Grid, or can we get it from their website? Is it the same thing? Generate extraordinary chords without using a keyboard. Chord Pilot introduces a whole new take on the task of chord creation and performance, offering 192 chord memories, a strummer, an arpeggiator, and an 8-step chord progression sequencer, all in one compact 12HP package. We've thrown away the music theory rulebook and instead offer a module that encourages the curious mind to discover alternative musical pathways, whether for generative patches or for EDM riffs. To generate a new chord, Chord Pilot uses a series of controls that alter the width and spread of fingers over a virtual keyboard before conforming them into a variety of musical moods, from the pure and harmonious to the terrifying and cacophonic. Is that really a word, cacophonic? It is now. Like all Knobula products, we have designed Chord Pilot primarily with performance in mind, to inspire by experimentation, to lose yourself in the moment, and to occasionally generate impossibly hard to play super chords. With the ability to store and transfer chords in sets of 8, Chord Pilot makes a great companion module for polycinematic, but is equally at home serving any polysynth with a MIDI input. Discover Chord Pilot, your guide, navigator, and explorer to a whole new universe of musical harmony and beyond, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, I was quite interested. I've been often saying that I can't wait till some modular manufacturer makes a self-sustaining MIDI unit that's actually transmitting MIDI, or can store MIDI and then send it out as CV to modules.
Yeah, you just wanted like a small screen for file navigation, a clicky and coder, and then a bunch of outputs, I think, last time you described
exactly.
That.
Yeah, exactly. This is the closest thing I've seen to that so far.
Yeah, it is difficult to try and figure out the operation from the panel. On the top, I mean, go and look at this, otherwise you'll just be confused by my explanation. But on the top, you've got 8 buttons in a kind of circle. Interestingly, 1 is the top middle right for some reason. And then clockwise, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In the middle, audition, in brackets, save, which seemed to be the button the guy was using to, like, strum a chord, which is interesting. There's a bank button below it. And on the left, you've got a triple position switch, ABC bank set on the right, modal, circle, play buttons. That's another triple position switch. You have a control called circle, no idea what that does. Note count, I imagine that might let you pick how many notes in your chord and how extended and added onto and suspended or something it might be. Interval, which, I mean, we know what intervals are, but I'm not really sure what it might do. Modal, air, conform, bias, bass note, oh, that makes sense. I imagine you can get some weird root note situations going, which might be interesting. And then you have a strum knob on the right. Maybe that'll be the speed of strumage. Then last, orbit, and arpeggio, which seems to control the gate pattern. Certainly interesting. I want to see a Loopop video of this one so I can understand how it works. Certainly seems cool.
Yes, I'm mildly, or more than mildly, in fact, I'm very interested. But I still haven't got the polycinematic that I was planning to buy recently, so maybe purchase those two together.
Yeah, it certainly seems like a match made in heaven.
We don't know how much it's going to cost, though. We've looked.
No, the speculation, given that all of their other ones are €310 and on Modular Grid, that it'll be the same, but no word of confirmation so far.
And we're not sure when it's available either.
No. I mean, it's quite possible that they have no idea either.
Okay. I don't know much about their production or anything like that, so wait and see.
Indeed, but another potentially great addition to the strange sequencing world. Check out those demos. Yeah, on Knobula's channel if you want to find them.
Excellent.
There we are. The end of another podcast. Of course, we don't worry, you're going to tune into the next one, but not before you hear our miscellaneous multimedia recommendations for this week. Pete, you've got yours ready, and I don't. Fire away.
Okay, this is pretty straightforward. It's another piano tutorial type of YouTube channel, And basically they describe it as being for beginners, intermediate and advanced players.
Mm.
Now, I normally have a look because there's a lot of techniques for jazz and neo-soul mm-hmm. type stuff. But there are some other bits and pieces that are interesting. But I think there's something for everyone who's looking to improve their piano technique. And the title or the name of the YouTube channel is Piano Pig.
Piano Pig.
So basically, that is my multimedia recommendation for this week, the YouTube channel Piano Pig.
Has it got like a little pig as its avatar or something?
I don't know. I haven't got... I've just got text here.
Gotcha. Mine isn't the most left field of recommendations at all. It's just a film that you've probably already seen, maybe. Blade Runner 2049. I have a colleague who's a bit of a film buff and thinks it's amazing, this particular film. And I remember when I first saw it, I came out of the cinema with a very much type attitude. And after seeing Dune, and then my... Oh, wait, no, I'm crunching that. It's not Dune, it's Dune. If you listened to last week, you'll know what I'm talking about. But yes, Dune, directed, of course, by Denis Villeneuve. And I was obsessed with it. And of course, my colleague from work goes, Ben, if you like that one, go and watch Blade Runner 2049. I said, oh, I thought it was rubbish. Well, I didn't think it was rubbish, but I thought it was kind of, meh, whatever. But I went back to it because it's on Netflix. And oh my, I understand it now. I know what's going on. The whatever opening sequence it was, and some synthesizer happened, sound design was there, the visuals, and I went, oh yes. I see why. It all makes sense now. I didn't finish watching it because it was kind of late and I wanted to really crank it and get the air moving. But I'm gonna take another look at that. So if, like me, you weren't so impressed the first time you saw it, I haven't even finished watching it again, but I know it's already a million times better than the last time I saw it. So yeah, go back. Give it another go. Dune.
Were you an aficionado of the original film?
Not an aficionado, but I definitely really like it.
Yes, I mean, I've always loved that film. Mm. It's possibly regarded by a lot of people as being one of the 10 greatest movies of all time.
Mm. I would not want to disagree.
Which is ironic because it was a flop at the cinema.
Oh, was it? I didn't realise.
And it only caught the cult status as it built from there.
Mm.
But as de Villeneuve said when he directed Blade Runner 2049, it's the same universe through a different person's eyes.
Mm.
And it is, and it isn't. It's same and it's different at the same time.
Yeah, I know I'm just going to have to go back and watch the original again, and then probably 2049, and then just keep going, just watching them backwards and forwards.
It's pretty good for a science fiction film that was made 40 years ago to still stand up as well as it does.
Definitely.
Obviously, the date that it was, what was it, 2019 or something like that? So.
Oh, yeah, when it's set. I can't remember.
Yeah, so that dystopian LA thing didn't happen, but doesn't matter. It's a great film.
Absolutely. There we are. Just go and watch more classic sci-fi. Of course, if you haven't seen the original Alien, what are you doing? That's my favourite. Anyway, thank you, of course, for tuning in this week. Of course. We're not even worried about you not tuning in next week. It's going to happen. We'll see you then. Farewell.